Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Can you go with me to Jeremiah and let's try to read chapter 51, Jeremiah 51. Are you there? Okay. We would like to read verse 19, verse 20. We will go as far as we can to verse 23. You can take time to read the whole of the chapter. It will be interesting. But we just have a little time to look at that now. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with you I will break in pieces the nation. Now I want you to catch the language in which the Holy Spirit is speaking now. Is that a friendly language? You know, yesterday I began to tell you that when we say thy kingdom come, we are ready for what? For battle. And I was so happy that in the day of his power, his people shall be willing. Praise the Lord. When we were to be commissioned out of the campus several years ago, and there was this elder who had labored in Nigeria over our life for many, many, many years. And he literally sat on some of our life. And I remember that one time we had a meeting, and this old Baba came and said, he has been carrying a body for the past 25 years. And God is asking him to release it upon some of us that are standing in that meeting. And he came every day for 5 days. He kept speaking and said, the Lord is asking him to release something that he has carried for years upon our life. We should go and pray. We should go and fast. Little did I know that I was going to enter into serious matter. So we were praying. We were fasting. On the day that he was going to release, he said, yes, if you know that God has elected you to come and bear this kind of body. So, but I tell you, it's going to change your direction. It's going to change your ambition. This thing has altered my own life. It's going to alter your own as well. It was a fearful meeting. And I remember how we were filing out. And he said, look here, you are too fast about it. I'm not sure you have understood what you want to receive, what you want to carry. Go back again. Sent us back several times. But some of us stubbornly felt that God had made a portion for us in that. So we came out. And he looked at us. He said, Lord Father, I can depart now. Thank you for giving me these young people into which I pour my this body. And he prayed and he put his hands on our lives. And I knew something happened. And he charged us. And one of his charge was that we are going into the nation and the nation, and that heaven is waiting for us not to disappoint God. And I realized that from generation to generation, for the kingdom of God to be established, some lives have to be laid down. Hallelujah. If we are going to move the purpose of God forward, some lives will have to be laid on the line. And I'm hearing God again say, you are my battle axe. You are my weapons of war. With you, I will do what? I will break in pieces. Now, did you understand the language? Is that language a very, very parlor language? Is it a language around the bread and tea? I need to hear from you. What language is this? This is a language of battle. This is a language of confrontation. This is a language of combat. With you, I will break in pieces the nations. With you, will I destroy what? Kingdom. Please listen. Thy kingdom come, men, other kingdoms have to be rooted out, uprooted, pulled down, thrown down, before we can build and before we can plant. Are you with me? Right. He said, with you, I will break in pieces the horse and his rider. With you will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With you also will I break in pieces man and woman. And with you will I break in pieces old and young. And with you will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with you the shepherd and his flock. And with you will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen. And with you will I break in pieces captives and rulers. Did you see the elaborateness of what God is about to do? Now, when I look at the things that God is causing to be done in order to establish his kingdom, I now realize that it is not a matter like eating banana. It means then that we've got to understand what is the weapon that God has provided for this to be accomplished in our lifetime. And you remember how Brother Paul, in his own understanding, and as the Lord began to walk with him, do you remember? He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. They are mighty through God to the what? To the pulling down of strongholds. He said, we demolish sophistries. We bring down into captivity every thought that raises its head against the knowledge of God. He said, and we are ready to punish. I tell our brother Paul, I thought you are gentle. But I found that while we are going to be gentle like the dove, we are going to be as shrewd as the serpent himself when it comes to battle. Praise the Lord. So, but I found that when God was commissioning Jeremiah, there was one thing he gave him. What did he give him? The word of God. He said, I have put in your mouth my words. And with this, you will uproot kingdom. So our first deal this morning with the principal means the word of God. The second principal means, I will introduce it when we're about to close. These two must go together. Hallelujah. But they can only be operated by men and women who have set their lives apart, who have been sanctified, who themselves are not compromisers with the kingdom of darkness, who themselves are not captives of the flesh, who themselves have cut a very clean boundary with the things of darkness. They themselves, they have experienced translation completely, and they stand apart from everything that has to do with sin, with the flesh, and with darkness. Now, why Jesus was speaking about the kingdom, he was bringing into reality this particular principal means of the word of God. And let's examine how Jesus put it. Can we examine how Jesus put it quietly in the gospel when he was dealing with the parables? He said several wonderful things, but let's look at that together this morning. Hallelujah. Will you go very quickly to the book of Matthew, once again, Matthew 13. If you go to Matthew 13, I'm in between Matthew 13 this morning and Mark chapter 4. Matthew chapter 13. In verse 24, there are, from verse 24.5, from verse 4, there are series of parables that Jesus gave that has to deal with the matter of the seed of the kingdom. But I want us to move away from the parable of the sower, and let's begin sincerely from verse 24. We will read, there are two parables I think we need to put together. Between 24 and 31. Another parable put it forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed what? Good seed in his field. But why men slept, his enemy came. And what did he do? He sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then are these tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, without them shall we go and gather them all? But he said, no. Let while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both go together unto the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat also into my barn. That is the first parable I would like to show you this morning, as we are dealing with the principal means of establishing the kingdom. Hallelujah. Now, looking at that parable, looking at that parable, it is very, very interesting to note that wherever God is longing for his kingdom to be established, do you know what he does? Do you know what he does? What does he do? He will sow the seed. Friends, he will do what? He will sow the seed of the kingdom. Whenever the seed of the kingdom has been cast, there is expectation that the kingdom will do what? Will manifest. Wherever the word of God has been correctly and faithfully and in purity preached, And there are many, many things that people preach that you may think is the word of God, and it's not. And that is what has brought serious conflict and confusion in our generation. And I'm praying that you will be able to cherish that the only potent power that is able to cause the kingdom life to be made manifest anywhere, anytime, is what? Is the word of God. Undiluted word of God. Whensoever God is desiring to see his kingdom established anywhere, you know what he does? He sows what? The seed. Now, I want to take the two parables together because there are two angles in which we must discuss this and go on. In the verse 31, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and did what? And sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is what? It is the greatest among herbs, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Hallelujah. Now, when we're talking about the power of the seed, it is that every seed of the word of God that has been cast is capable of becoming a mighty tree. Oh, do you understand that? Do you understand that? Now, when the word of God is cast into a man's life, if nothing interrupts it, if no one pulls it down, it has capacity of producing the kingdom life. It has capacity of setting that man apart for the glory of God. It has capacity for changing men. There is nothing that the devil fears so much as the word of God preached in faithfulness. Listen, each time the devil came to tell Jesus, there was something Satan could not resist. What is that? It is written. The word of God, we uproot. Please listen carefully. I pray that you will become addicted to the word of God as I have become. I'm telling you. I have complete confidence in God's word. The word of God will do for us what thousands and thousands and thousands of men are struggling to do and they cannot achieve. God's word will do. When the seed of the kingdom has been cast into a man's life, if nothing interrupts it, it's going to become what? A mighty tree. It's going to have potential. People will come, lodge on it, stand in it, and it will bear their weight. That's the power in the word of God. The word of God will change sinners and make them safe. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus, he was speaking to his disciples, said, you are clean. By what? By the word I have spoken unto you. When he was going to pray, in John chapter 17, do you know what he said? He said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is what? Is the truth. The word of God has capacity to uproot. There are some of you that in the past few days, you have experienced what the word of God can do. Have you experienced what the word of God can do? The word of God is violent. If it comes to you in power, it bulldozes anything. He said, I have put my word in your mouth. You will root out. You will pull down. You will throw down kingdom just by the ministry of the word of God. Before I come back to the second segment of that parable, which is very important for you to understand, I want to press upon your heart that all the people that caused the kingdom of God to be established in their generation, they were men that were addicted to what? To God's word. The Lord said to Joshua, I thought that when Joshua was going to face the Philistines, those giants, those sons of Anak, those men of the Canaanites, that God was going to say, now behold, I'm giving you bulldozers. You know what God said? That this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou shalt observe to do all that is written therein. And what will happen? You will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. And I was wondering how the word of God is going to pull down Jericho. How was the word of God going to deal with the Gibeonites? How was the word of God going to pull down the Philistines? But that is the potency of God's word. Hallelujah. Brother Paul said something which I'd like you to please check. Will you please check? Go with me very quickly to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. In verse 16 and verse 17. Will anybody with a pastoral voice read verse 16 and 17 for us? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Yes. Yes, verse 17. Wherein is the righteousness of God revealed? In the word of God, the gospel. From faith to faith. Yes. Thank you, sir. Will you read that for me from Good News and from Old Living Bible? Yes. I have complete confidence in the gospel. It is God's power to do what? To save. Yes? Yes, sir. Go ahead. The gospel reveals how God puts people right with himself. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Good job. Praise the Lord. Thank you. What verse did you read, sir? Good news. I have complete confidence. Where is the Old Living Bible? I'm not ashamed of this good news about Jesus Christ. Thank you, sir. Let's take this man from that side. Yes, we are taking you right now. It is God's power at work. Let me ask you, what is God's power at work? The Word of God. The Word of God. Do you remember? Now, you can see that. When Paul was charging Timothy, he said, you may as well know this, O Timothy. It will be difficult in the end times to be Christian. But when he had said all of that, what did he recommend? What did he recommend? He said, preach the word. If you read your Bible very, very well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I suppose verse 15, 16, and I think verse 17, Paul noted. Let me read it. Second Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We read very quickly from verse 15, 16, and 17. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. I want you to see what the Holy Scriptures can do. What did he say the Holy Scriptures will do? Which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That what may happen. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hallelujah. Listen. Let me now read it from another version. Let's try to catch it from, I think I can read Philip here. And what does it say? It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the faith and correcting error, for resetting the direction of a man's life and training him in good living. The scriptures are the comprehensive equipment of the man of God, and it fits him fully for all branches of his work. Are you hearing me now? Now, the scripture is not only able to make you wise unto salvation, it will reset your direction. Let me tell you, there is a great difference between the word of God and human advice. Human advice is a combination of people's past experience, and I've been advising him, I say, brother, please change now, this is not good now. And he keeps arguing with you. Wait until the word of God hits you. How many of you were here that you used to be reckless before? Let me see your hand up. And the word of God turned your life around. Praise the Lord. The word of God is God's powerful equipment for changing men. It will turn lives of men around. It will cause them to walk in the light of the kingdom. We actually cannot see the kingdom of God established in our generation except the word of God is preached again. Revival is not possible except as the word of God is faithfully preached and consistently taught. Hallelujah. And obedience to the word of God is demanded for meticulously. That's what will bring the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Now, why am I dealing with this morning? I perceive that as you go, God is going to do great things by your hands. But then one principal equipment you cannot do without, you cannot travel without it, is the sword of the Spirit. What will pierce the kingdom of darkness, what will pierce the heart of men, is the word of God. Can I show you how it happened? Hey! Our brother Peter stood up one day on the day of Pentecost. You know the people that came? Did they come to listen to the word of God? What did they come to do? They came to mock. They came to scatter things. These people are drunk. Peter did not stand up to say, please, Let's settle down and let us just relax. Let's just have some little music. Is that what Peter said? Do you know he stood up and lifted up his voice? And he began, he said, "This is that which the prophet Joel spoke. As it is written, as I was looking at his message, I saw a man quoting copiously the word of God. And as he was quoting it, you know, from one scripture to another, 'My Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies thy footstool. Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you that David was both dead and buried, and we have his sepulchre here with us. This same Jesus Christ, whom ye rejected, the Lord has raised, and he has made the chief of the cornerstone.'" You know, he was preaching. And then the Bible says, when they heard this, what happened? They were pricked. Now, let me ask you, is that a friendly word? Pricked! Is that a friendly word? What does it connote? A penetration by force of a sharp object. You get me? Now, the word of God is a sharp object. It tears it. Oh, am I just saying that? Is that not what Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says? Said, for the word of God is what? Is quick and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Doing what? Piercing! Piercing! All of you, say, pierce! 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 Piercing! You know when I see the word pierce? It means he does not beg for the right of way. He does not recognize obstacles. He didn't say, don't build your wall. When the word of God is coming, what does he do? He said, he pierces it to the joint in between soul and spirit. How many of you can get to the spirit of anybody? Eh? That is the mistake you make. You are talking to somebody, you are using human wisdom, you are trying to deny. And the man is smiling and saying, it's alright. Can you get at the spirit? But there is a weapon that even if he decides to conceal his spirit, and keep his soul and insulate everything so much that you will not know what is in his heart. Something will come. And the word of God, what does he do? And then, the intent, his internal thoughts are brought out. And they will say, how did you know me? Why are you speaking as if somebody has told you all that I have ever done? That's what the word of God does. It's a powerful weapon. Hallelujah. And if the matter is between the joint and marrow, it gets there. And it doesn't do it sluggishly. It's what? Sharp, active, quick, forceful, and powerful. He penetrates. He doesn't beg and say, excuse me, can I have a chance? No, he doesn't beg. Oh, you don't know what the word of God is. He said, is my word not like a hammer? What does the hammer do? That breaks rock into what? Pieces. And is my word not like fire? What does fire do? It burns. It burns. You can't touch fire and say, I didn't know it's the fire I touched. You know when you go to where the word of God is preached, and sincerely speaking, went away untouched. I want to inform you that either the word didn't come out, because the word that comes out of my mouth shall not return to me how. Now, I want you to know this, that God's word never goes somewhere and returns back frustrated and say, excuse me, I went to where you sent me and I couldn't do it. I tried. You know that sister Rose, she's very hard. Ah! She's harder than a flea. That's not the word of God. That's not the word of God. When the word of God confronts Rose, Rose will melt like paraffin wax. And God wants to put that word in your mouth. For the sake of the kingdom. Hallelujah. We went to a secondary school some years when I was a copper to preach. There was a boy. He was in Form 3. But he was the ringleader in the college. I was preaching. When this boy just sprang up from nowhere and announced to all the students that gathered, said, who told you to listen to that man? And all of them, out of fear, they all left me. And the coppers we went to preach with. And the principal and the teacher, they feared him. Because this is the boy that distributes Indian hemp in the school. He was the one that organizes girls for teachers. He would look at girls and say, you, go to Mr. So-and-so for tonight. You, go to Mr. So-and-so. Terrible thing. He was an untenable guy. The first day we went back, shattered. And it's a 3-day meeting we wanted. So we gathered a few brothers who were about 5 couples that wanted to get that community. We went to pray again. And the Lord said, the man to target is our boy. Go again. We are praying. I have seen miracles. You know what happened? When we came this time, I don't know what happened. We just stood again, as I stood the other day, and we began to preach the word. And this tall boy, I don't know what hit him up to now. Something just hit him from the word of God we preached. And he shouted. He said, yay! I am on top! I am in trouble! Can God forgive me? And he ran out. It was something else. I saw how the word of God can deal with his target. Have you ever seen cats or rats before? How many of you have seen rats in the hand of cats? If you see rats moving and a cat sees rats, do you know how cats spring into action? They jump and you know the claws. He will just put it on the neck of the rat. When he takes it like this, he will knock it on the ground. And then, cats can be very interesting. He will drop the rat and go back and be playing. And the rat knows that he's in trouble already. Then he will come again, and put, you know, one leg on top of the rat and use the other one and begin to tear it. To devour. I want to inform you. When the word of God comes, it's like cats jumping on a rat. I really pray that you will experience revival as I'm trusting God. You see, What you are used to now is that of diluted preaching. Many of you have never seen serious conviction before. You've never seen people arrested by the authority of the Word of God to the point that they cannot sleep, they cannot sit down, they cannot eat, and they cannot lie down. And they are under conviction, they are crying at the same time, they are begging you, say, please pray for me, I can't sleep since yesterday. And we are going to see that in the days ahead. Oh, this boy came, and he was crying, tears, and they repent. He said, I want to repent. What do I do, sir? What do I do? I am a womanizer in this college. I want to repent. He went and brought all the rolls of Indian hemp that he had been distributing and selling and eating. We burnt it. Right there and then. This boy went and shaved his head again. And then the next week, you know who was organizing the meeting? It was Sam. We had tremendous effect among those students. It was very interesting that after some years, I went to a denominational leadership pastor's meeting, and one of the reverend ran to me and said, you forgot me. I said, I didn't remember. I said, I was in Form 1. When you came to our college, and this was what you said, this was what you said, I found that when the Word of God comes, nobody forgets it. That you went to hear a message, and after 2 years you forgot what was said, it means you didn't hear the Word of God. The Word of God will hook your heart. It will keep you restless until you obey it. And for years, you even remember everything. That's the kind of ministry I look for. I want God to equip you with the Word of God. Hallelujah. That man said, as you preached that day, I saw myself, I rushed out, I gave my life to Christ, and I promised God that I'm going to serve Him. Now I am a pastor, sir. I said, yes, that's all right. That boy that was the ringleader. One day one of our men had gone to Cross River to preach, and he was in a particular location. And people, as he was preaching, they said, who are you? Suddenly, he just mentioned my name. And this big district overseer of this big denomination started crying. He said, you mean it's my father that sent you here? He said, what? He said, did you not say it's Bragilet that sent you here? I said, yes. That's the man who hooked me 25 years ago. And ever since, I couldn't go back. He's leading a very big work because the Word hooked him. Let me tell you, what do you think will cause the kingdom of God to be established here? The Word of God is the seed of the kingdom. Let me tell you, unfortunately, I found gradually that the Word of God is reducing in our fellowships. I found that people are gisting. I found a man of God invited to come and preach. He has 30 or 40 minutes to preach. He uses 10 minutes to greet people. Say, hallelujah. Let me tell you, all those nuances has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Said, if you like me, shout hallelujah, somebody. That's foolish. Foolish. If I wind up, I say, I don't like you. I normally say, I don't like you. I don't like what you are doing. You are not my savior. Preach the word. Go and sit down. That's what matters here. The only thing that changes men is not your gesticulation, is not your slogan. I have found that popular preaching nowadays is ordinary slogan. Some brilliant boys who have become quite academic in their thinking, they put some good words together, something, something, thing, something, something, G, something, 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 you know, and everything is regular. Everything is looking like it has been arranged, and all ignorant people are saying, yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Let me tell you, that can never establish the kingdom. The devil doesn't fear slogans. Oh, last time when I was in Los Angeles, what does that mean? What does that mean? Great means of establishing the kingdom of God is available to you. Say, I put my word in your mouth. When you go to Isaiah 51, he says, I have put my word in your mouth, and with you I will plant a nation. I lived in a duplex, two flats in a big house. One lecturer is here. I am living here. One night, there was commotion in my neighbor's house. I was hearing it. I was wondering. And we were having prayer meeting in my own house. And I didn't want all our students to know that my fellow lecturer colleague is fighting. So, you know, I just left the prayer meeting and I went and said, excuse me now. You know you are a lecturer? And there are students here. It's not nice for them to hear this kind of thing. Please, cool down. Please. Madam, please, I beg. Please, I beg. Please, I beg. I thought that that has to be a peacemaker. I thought when the Bible says, blessed are the peacemaker, they will be called the sons of God. I thought that is how to do so. As soon as I left, make them be careful. I will deal with you. I will disgrace you here. I will deal with you. It was terrible. As soon as the prayer meeting ended and the people left, the battle became more serious. They were carrying chairs, they were hitting. So I ran into their midst. By this time, they have turned themselves naked. Educated but foolish. You are the one who respects educated people. Any man who doesn't have Jesus Christ, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Nothing. Nothing. I don't envy an educated man that does not have Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing. So I ran into their midst. I said, no, no, no. You know, as they were hitting themselves, they wounded my finger. And blood was coming out. When I got back to my room, I thought the Lord was going to congratulate me that I've suffered for the work of God. So I heard my finger, I said, Lord, Lord, you see this? And I heard a very sharp rebuke. The Lord said, if they have cut your finger today, that will have been your fault. I said, should they have been fighting and I will not go there? Is that how to be a good neighbor? He said, Is that what I told you to do? To be fighting quarrels? So I knelt down and I said, God, but what should I have done? He said, the weapon I gave you, did you use it? It occurred to me that, wow, the word of God. So I just said, Lord, permit me just for the day to break. I will go quickly. So as early as possible, I think as soon as I heard that their door was opened, I hung on my Bible. I went back now. Now I'm a correct peacemaker. Hallelujah. Now I have seen miracles. I have seen what the word of God can do. And look, I'm telling you, that's what I believe. So when I got in there, the man had furiously went out. He had gone out. I met the madam. She was also fuming with anger. So when I knocked, he said, yes. I said, I'm the one. He said, okay, coming. So I sat down. She was sitting. If I knew he was such a useless man, I would not have married him. This man cheated me. He took me. He did this. I will show him that I'm not an ordinary person. She was talking and fuming and furious, everything. I said, madam, do you really want peace? He said, where will I get peace with this useless man? I said, but you can have peace today. He said, how? I reached out to the word of God. I began, I have seen miracles. The miracles that the word of God can bring. I've seen it. You know what I saw? As I was just reading the Bible, I didn't know that something was happening. Something was piercing. It was getting inside. She started saying, that's true, sir. I never stopped. I continued. Then the next thing I heard, I said, so what can I do to be saved? I have tried. I know that this thing has been a problem. I reach out to the word of God again. A new heart will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away from you the heart of stone. I said, do you know what is inside you is the heart of stone? You know your heart is very hard. He said, it's true. Look, when the word of God is coming out, he deals with people, regardless of their status. I said, do you want Jesus to take away that heart of stone? There's going to be a heart surgery this morning. She knelt down. And God, being true to his word, that same minute, there was a heart transfer. The heart of stone was taken, and the heart of flesh was put in. And it was dramatic. I was surprised. You know what happened? As soon as we finished praying, she said, I felt something hard left me. My heart just suddenly became soft. I was still looking at her. And she stood up there. She went and cleaned the house. She washed her husband's clothes. And she made food. And she set everywhere. By the time the man was coming back, he was coming furiously thinking there would be a fight. There was a different woman in the house now. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things. Not many things. How many things? All things. By the time this man came, the woman went and met him. Knelt and said, I'm sorry for yesterday. I'm sorry. Something has happened to me. Please come and have your food. The man was dazed. He didn't know what to do. He was dumbfounded. And when everything is finished, the good news Bible that I gave her, she just sat there and was reading and reading. And this man, after 3 days, walked over to my house. Said, Mr. Akoni. I said, yes. What did you do to my wife? Said, I have never seen this kind of thing before. She has never said sorry since I married her. She has never done this. Wow. That was the end of quarrel in that house. Until they passed and went somewhere else. And do you know, several years later, I had gone somewhere to preach. And I saw her bubbling with joy. Friends, the kingdom of God can only be established by the instrumentality of the word of God. If we don't preach the word, we will miss the kingdom. Now, I'm afraid that there are people that are crowding into churches, the fellowship. They are still thieves. They are still fornicators. And I'm wondering, how will a fornicator continue to be in the choir? Don't you think that something was omitted? Don't you think there's a lot of gifting but nothing of the word? Don't you think there's a lot of activities, but the word of life was omitted? Hallelujah. So Paul was saying to Timothy, preach the word. That is the panacea for end time foolishness. The word of God. Praise the Lord. Now I want to move very quickly away from that. Now I want you to now look at the parable we read. He said, a good man has sown a good seed into his field, but while men slept, his enemy came, and what did he do? He has sown tears. And honestly, let me tell you something. I knew I was alive. I was already a Christian. I was already in some level of spiritual leadership when we noticed some strange preaching that had come into Nigeria in the 70s. I remember when this positive confession preaching started coming. I remember going to visit some of our brethren on the campus, and a sister, instead of reading her Bible as we were brought up in the Word of God, she has written some what she called daily confessions and pasted on her wall. I am an overcomer. I am born to rule. I am born to win. This something. You know, that kind of thing that you are told to repeat, re-ask every day. This is psychology. It's not the word of God. And on that day, listen, I'm confessing something to you. The Lord told me that this thing that these brothers are bringing to this country is going to cause problem. It's a pollution that is going to affect the purpose of God. But as at the time, it looked popular. It appeared wonderful. It quietly took away the diligent study of the Word of God from our mouth. You discover that some of you to struggle now to organize Bible study where we are studying verse by verse is becoming a difficult matter. You now discover that in several of the churches that you go now, midweek service, someone will just stand up there and say, the Spirit just told him right now. Oh, there is the face of anointing. There's a face of anointing. There's a face of anointing. What is the face of anointing? Where is that written in the Word of God? Where is that found in the Word of God? And it could occupy everybody for the next 1 hour, saying empty words, babbling, saying babblings. And then everybody is occupied. Yes! Oh! Amen! Ah! I say, what are you saying amen to here? What is it? What has he said? What has he said? Why are you excited about nothing? And that has produced empty Christians. It has produced those who have no lamina to stand. They have no internal resourcefulness to resist the kingdom of darkness. These are the people we have produced that sin does not fear them. Even themselves, they are just a captive of their own lusts. Why? The enemy has done this. One of the things I want to charge you to write and deal with is to keep alert. You can be a change in your generation. Are you hearing me? You can be another beginning of the move of God. You can arise now and go with nothing else but the Word of God. You teach the Word of God in a secondary school where you are teaching for the next 1 year, you will see a miracle.
Don't talk about Jesus. Don't talk of all those jamboree. Just sit down and teach the word of God. Every time you will see the children, you will see something. They will become a mighty army behind you, and they will never forget you. Hallelujah. The enemy has done something. What is he doing? He's sowing tares. Tears sometimes look like the seed. So you will think, oh, it is also preaching. It's also preaching. No. When psychologists are speaking, we know. What some of you don't understand is the psychological principles that men are using to get you to do things that you never thought about. You know what we call the repetitive therapy in psychology, the stimulus response therapy. When you start with a stimulus, and as you keep repeating it, you will get response, until it becomes a reflex. And so you find that somebody says, "I have stand up now. Say the following things after me." You know, when somebody is repeating what you should say after him, he is bypassing your own thinking. Do you know that? And you are saying what you have not thought about. And he's turning you to a robot. And it's making sure that you are manipulated, because he has subdued your self-consciousness and has got hold of your life to the point that you can do things without knowing that you have done it. Oh, and I see that many, many times on our pulpit. I see it everywhere. I say, oh God, the enemy has done something here. But that will not bring the kingdom. That will only raise clubs of psychophants, clubs of people that cannot. I hear pastors say, "Hey, if I don't bless you before you go somewhere, you are never blessed." I say, where do you find that in the Bible? Why are you wanting to rule and dominate the faith of brothers? Because we are all brethren. But because the word of God is being omitted, such nonsense is finding acceptance in the ears of men. You must change that in the name of Jesus. Now, what is the second principal means that God has given for us to establish the kingdom? Now, I want you to see that. That is another important means, and I'm hoping that I can dispense with it now before we get to pray. Go to Matthew for me. Matthew chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 18. We will see something very quickly. In Matthew 16, are you in Matthew 16 already? Right. Now it says in verse 19, Matthew 16, 19, "And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be what? Shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Go to 18. 18, 18. Are you in 18? Verse 18. "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on us as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." The weapon of prayer. I told you that there are two principal means. Is that alright? I dealt with the first. What is the first? The word of God. Now the second principal means, and actually you can arrange it, the two of them, they are concurrent, they go side by side. Hallelujah. And the two go side by side. Prayer and the word of God. They are the two things that will cause the kingdom of God to be established in our day. Now, but I want you to see the kind of thing I'm talking about prayer. The Lord Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, where we took our theme, he said, "When you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." What did he say now? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know that he made it a matter of prayer? That two things that we are called upon to do, that we cause the kingdom of God to be made manifest, that is prayer and preaching. The ministry of prayer and the ministry of the word of God. Two things. Now, but let's check what is the matter we are raising in this passage. Now, we have read it in King James, that whatsoever is bound, you bound here on earth, is what heaven will bind for you. Can we take that from other verses? Is there someone by any means? Yeah, thank you. Wait, sister. Whatever you do, what? You lock. Whatever you lock on earth will be locked in heaven. Yes, sister? It is whatever you open on earth that shall be opened in heaven. Yes? 18. Thank you, sister. I tell you this. Whatever you prohibit, now, whatever you prohibit on earth. Now, listen. I want you to be reasonable this morning, because you are going to do exploits. I have listened to many prayers, and I know they are not kingdom praying. I have watched many night vigils, and I have nodded my head that this kind of vigils will carry us nowhere. I have attended several prayer concerts, and I'm surprised that what you are praying about is what the Gentiles also seek. He says, for these things also, the Gentiles, they do what? They seek. That's what they are running after. And your Father knows that you have need of them. It is not a matter for prayer. What God is bringing you into, and I pray that Holy Ghost will impress this on your heart. I pray that I will get brothers and sisters from these young people who have a future ahead of them, who will be doing kingdom business, who will be causing things to happen on the face of the earth because they know how to pray. I'm looking for people whose concern is not what will I wear, what will I eat, where will I sleep, who will I marry, all of those. I wish what you are fasting and praying about is not, oh God, hey, my promotion, Marakatoro Bo Sambaba, Maya Nekebo, Hoko Sobobo, oh, the man that said, I will not be promoted, oh God, deal with him. No, you forgot that you are not praying properly. You know what the Bible says? Promotion does not come from the east, nor from the west. Where does it come from? And did you hear your father who said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and what will he do? He will exalt you when? In due time. Why did you make that a matter of prayer? Why did you waste the privilege of speaking to the Most High God on a matter of no consequence? He said, your Father knows you have need of that. Do you know, all my years when I walked, I never prayed one day for promotion. I was promoted. In fact, they will promote me before the time. They will say, we know. There's nothing else. You are one of our excellent men here. I never need to lobby. I didn't need to visit anybody. I just was doing my business. And what is my business? Establishing the kingdom. It's interesting. It's interesting to be occupied with the kingdom. He said, therefore I say unto you, seek you first. What? The kingdom of God. And what? And its righteousness. And so what will happen? All these things shall be what? Added unto you. Just an ordinary addition, addendums. But listen, there is a great weapon to establish the kingdom that has not been properly used. Actually, not that it is not been used, it has been misused. It's been abused. Prayer has been abused. Prayer has been mishandled. Opportunity to cause the government of God to be established on the face of the earth by the instrumentality of praying has not been used. And we are praying. I've been praying for you. I've spoken to God about you already, even this morning. And I say, God, I believe that this is a generation that is capable of turning things around for the kingdom of God. Please, Lord, place in their hands the keys of the kingdom. Now, you know, I am not casual about this. When I finish speaking now, we will enter into a moment of prayer. A prayer of impartation that God will cause to rest on you the spirit of prayer. Because if we are going to see the kingdom established, two principal means have to be employed. Now, sister, did you finish reading? Whatsoever you prohibit. Now, what's the word prohibit? What you outlaw. Is that alright? What you refuse to allow. Am I right? What you ban. What you declare illegal. Unlawful. I'm wondering, Lord, you mean we are capable of determining what is lawful on the face of the earth? We are capable of declaring and saying, from now henceforth, we will not see this in this place again. And it will be done. Sister, finish. Whatever you allow on earth, yes, I tell you this, not when we get to heaven, please. If two of you agree down here on earth concerning anything that you ask, go. Yes. Now, what version is this now? New Living Translation. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Are you following us this morning? Now, the Lord was going to introduce how to cause the kingdom of God to be established on the face of the earth. And he told his disciples, when you pray, say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Now, let's simply in a very short way, let's look at men who walked with this key in their hands. Can we try to look at some of them? Can we try to look at some of them? We won't have all the time to read long, long passages, I'm going to assume that you are familiar with the Bible. I'm assuming. But when I feel that my assumption is too dangerous, we will go and read so that you can check it by yourself. Now, do you remember something that looked very strange that happened in the days of Abraham? Do you remember? Number one, before you look at Abraham, God ordained in the beginning when he created Adam, and he gave him authority to govern the earth. I was surprised that God honors that authority. Whenever God made or created anything, he brought it unto Adam and asked him, what will you want us to do? What? To call it. And the Bible says, whatsoever Adam called the name, that is the name thereof. Have you read that before? Now, it meant that even before Adam lost authority, God was depending on him to initiate action on the earth so that heaven can follow it. Oh, you are not listening to me. It is in God's plan that everything that ought to happen on earth must be initiated by his people who are bearing delegated authority for him on earth. And then heaven will do what? Will ratify it. So, it came to a time when Sodom and Gomorrah, their cry had reached God, and God was coming down with two angels to go and destroy the place. And they happened to branch to visit their friend. God will visit you. Could you imagine that there was a man on the face of the earth that God Almighty regards him as a friend and he decides to visit him? And he came and visited him. The brother was sitting in front of his house and he saw these three men coming. And he ran to them and he said, sir, you can't pass my house without eating, sir. Come in, come in. And Sarah, please quickly make let one of the boys kill one of the goats and get things ready for our visitors. And they sat down, they ate. I couldn't imagine God Almighty eating, but he did. Don't ask me how he did. That's how the Bible put it. They ate together. And for you to know that it's the Lord himself, when they began to speak, the discussion was serious. He said, by this time next year, your wife is going to have a baby. And the woman laughed. Sir, why did you laugh? I didn't laugh, sir. I didn't say you laughed. I saw you laughed. Do you know God could be humorous? I saw you laughed. Is anything too hard for me? Oh, no, I didn't say that, sir. Okay, whether you said it or not, by this time next year, you have a baby. We are going now. Thank you, Abraham. Thank you for your meal. I'll see you next year. And they were going. And Abraham said, let me escort you, sir. Let me escort you. And he went to put them on the way, according to scripture. And as they were going, it occurred to God. So what? Wait a minute. How can I do such an enormous thing on the face of the earth? And I have not told Abraham, seeing that he will instruct his children to follow me. Ah, no, I can't do that. May God raise people among you that have such a relationship with God that if anything is going to happen in the environment, God will regard it as a responsibility to let you know. And such is the kind of people that God wants to raise among us here. And God came and said, oh, Abraham, do you know, I thought it not good that I should be doing something and you have not known about it. So Abraham said, what, sir? What, sir? And the Lord said, hmm. The cry of Sodom and Gomorrah has come to me. Their wickedness, their terrible behavior. So I have come down to see if the thing I'm hearing is so. And you see these two guys, these two angels, I took them along. That if I confirmed, by this time tomorrow, Sodom and Gomorrah will no longer be. They are going to finish it. But I thought it would not be nice that you are around here and I'm doing something and I've not told you. That's what I decided to tell you. And Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So when our brother was telling you that you must be a man of his presence, I wish you would take that seriously. He stood yet before the Lord. He said, "Sir, do I have permission to speak into this matter?" I said, "Well, that's why I told you, in case you have something to say." And then the Lord also stood yet. Let me ask you, where are the two angels? He has told them to keep going. Because this discussion, angels have no right into it. You see, let me tell you, the privilege of prayer is not for angels. Angels have no business praying. If you beg an angel to pray for you, you have wasted your life. I hear people say, "Angel Michael, pray for me. Angel Gabriel, pray for me." Foolish, foolish prayer. Angels have no privilege of praying. They have no privilege of getting into the presence of God. It's not given unto angels. It's for me. So he said, "You keep going, I'm coming." Sir, I'm thinking that if you find 50 righteous people, is it correct that the Lord, the righteous judge, the God of the whole earth, to destroy 50 righteous people with the unrighteous? Have you ever thought of what consequence that will mean to your name and your personality, sir? If 50 righteous people were to be destroyed with the unrighteous people, what would be the motivation for being righteous next time? I don't think it would be right, sir, if you find 50 people there. Couldn't you have left that place for the sake of 50 righteous people? And God said, I've not thought like that. But well, as you said, if you go find 50, 50 is alright. For the sake of 50, I leave the place. Sir, don't think I'm talking too much. I'm just thinking that if we can't get up to 50, what about 40? If for the sake of 40, you won't spare the land for 40 people who are standing there night before your presence, they say, "Oh, for 40. So, sir, what of 30? I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Most High God. What if we find only 20? Permit me this one more time to speak, sir." Now, all these things that he is asking, let me ask you a question. Of what personal benefit was Sodom and Gomorrah to brother Abraham? I'm not hearing you. No, did you think Lot was of a benefit to him? Do you remember how Lot took the whole of the good place and he went away? If you were the one, what will I say? "God, don't catch him." I told him. I told that boy. Only Koko will not allow him. The last time that the kings came to carry Sodom and Gomorrah and carried him captive, I went and fought and brought him back. He didn't even come back home to say, "Thank you, sir." Do you know that Lot never, never, never built an altar to thank God? It was Abraham that paid tithe for victory he got by fighting to bring the people back. The man that was the beneficiary did not thank God.
Now I'm talking about a man who is in kingdom business. He stood there and said, if we find 10, only 10, sir. Just say, for the sake of 10, I leave the place. Thank you. That at least, if Lot is doing well, he should have got 10. Because Lot, his wife, two daughters that were married out, and if they got correct husbands, that would be another 2, 6. And if at least one of their parents should be correct or servant, we may get another 4. And then the 2 girls that were not married, they would be at least 12. So if you get 10, he thought that Lot would have been covered. And God said, for the sake of 10. But then, you know, as God was going to say, excuse me, sir, I wish to remind you that you remember the boy that used to stay with me. You remember that boy? And Lot, when I went down to Egypt, you know, he was with me. And he had been with me until the other time when he left, and you told me to let him go, sir. He is in Sodom, sir. Please, in case you cannot find 10, help me get him out. Can you imagine that? Now, here is a kingdom man causing a divine program to be altered because he was standing in the opportunity of prayer. I know you can do exploits for God, and you don't have to be a millionaire to do that. You can only have a privilege of standing with God and deciding what happens and what does not happen. Praise the Lord. Do you know that when they got to Sodom, they looked, they couldn't find 50, they couldn't find 20, they couldn't find 10. And God decided that Sodom had to go. He said, but you can do nothing until you evacuate who? Lot and his family. And they told Lot, we are destroying this place tomorrow. Do you have anybody in this town? Do you have anybody in this city? You have been given presidential pardon to take you out of this place. The man went round and round and round. He could not find one. Unfortunately, his wife became a pillar of salt. But that was Abraham for you. Do you remember God was about to destroy the children of Israel when they committed sin of idolatry? Do you remember? And God, on the mount where Moses was praying and talking with him, I heard God say, leave me alone. Let me destroy them at once. Now I was wondering, how could God Almighty be saying, leave me alone? Who is holding him? Who is holding him? Do you understand what we are talking about? God allows himself to be held by a man of prayer. And for God, he said, leave me alone. Let me destroy them at once. Let's read that so that you can listen to something. Exodus. I'm dealing with the principal means of causing the kingdom of God to be established. Exodus. Are you in Exodus now? Verse chapter 32, very quickly. Verse 9, the Lord said to Moses, I've seen the people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, leave me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of you, what? A great nation. Now listen, I want you to listen. Now, you know why I'm raising all of this? I'm talking about men who will do exploits for the kingdom, using the opportunity and the privilege of praying. Now, one of the things that is consistent about them is that they are not concerned about themselves. Now, I hear God say, leave me alone, and I will make of you a great nation. But look at Moses. Moses besought the Lord his God and said,
Lord, why does your wrath wax hot against your people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Did you hear somebody talking to who? To the Almighty God. And he said, why are you angry? Why will you allow your wrath to burn against your people? Are you not the one who went and collected them from Egypt? Why will you give occasion to Egyptians to say it is for mischief that you brought them up? Don't you think that they will call you mischievous? Don't you think they would say, he didn't really intend to take them anywhere. He just wanted to finish them. That's why he came and took them out. Turn from this your wrath, and repent from this evil that you are planning.